16 minutes past 8 a.m. though here on 2SER Breakfast, and as we do of a Wednesday morning, it's time to take a look at this weird and wonderful city of ours and some of the history that perhaps may have escaped your notice if you haven't gone digging for it. The Dictionary of Sydney, of course, it was one of my favourite segments, and Nicole Carmer joins us in the studio now. Nicole, good morning.
Good morning, Tess.
What are we having a look at this week?
We're looking at old school restaurants, wining and dining in Sydney, because I was thinking about it. It's, yes, it's dry July, but we should talk about wine and drinking.
I support it.
And, you know, the other thing about that is I think we take for granted when we go to places now, just the extensive wine lists. It's not just you have your house red or your house white, but you've got all different variations imaginable.
And you get entirely separate menus for the wine.
That's right. And they're like books, and they're longer than the food menus.
They are sometimes.
And you know, we're so lucky in this city, we get this extraordinary kind of variety of international cuisines that are just like, it's just normal for us now to go to have Thai or Vietnamese, but it wasn't always the case. And so Sydney has had a really kind of, really had a very kind of real transformation of its drinking and wining and dining habits, which was really kind of post-Second World War, but it was definitely happening before. And I did actually, just digging in the dictionary, find a couple of examples, but there's one was actually set up by a German migrant called Leo Buring. And it was in the 1930s that he set up his Ye Olde Crusty Cellar.
This is incredible.
which was on opposite Bridge Street in George Street. And people would kind of line up for their special vintage wines, you know, which I suppose was considered very kind of novelty at the time. Although there had been wine cellars established in the city in the 19th century, late 19th century onwards, but this was still not something that people did on a regular basis. You know, the pub was still very much dominating Sydney's drinking culture. And that venue also hosted many distinguished guests. At one point, the German Navy visited. This was before the Second World War. and that place actually closed in the 1960s. So it had a good
run. Wow. And I was going to say, it must have had some pretty good draw cards if people were flocking to a place named Ye Olde Crusty Cellar. Yes. So that's impressive in and of itself.
If not just for the name. Yeah,
just for the name.
And I'm sure that, you know, anyone could revive that name and it would do just as well today. But I think the other, another really interesting place that opened was set up by Henri and Jeanne Renou, who were French migrants. And they opened a restaurant called The Hermitage in 1942 in Ash Street, which is kind of, you know, near Angel Place, that kind of area. And the Hermitage served such dishes as venison in wine, I believe. And that actually made the newspapers. Like, they spoke about this dish called venison in wine, and it was very kind of novelty, as they say. And also steak tartare, which at the moment I've noticed is very popular. The kind of, it's quite, everyone knows tartare, you know. But at the time, I think it shocked restaurant goers, so much so that Jeanne actually said that one patron, and this is a quote, could not understand us serving raw steak. It was fit only for dogs.
Oh,
so a little harsh, I'd say, at the time, but still, it was something that was just so different.
Yeah.
And the pair actually were also, the couple were instrumental in setting up the Wine and Food Society of New South Wales as well. So really kind of interesting people. Another thing, just as a side note, I found an article in the Daily Telegraph. This was in 1946. That Henry voiced his real kind of opposition to the gender segregation that was going on in public bars in Australia. And you may not be aware, but women weren't actually allowed to drink alongside men in public bars. There were separate ladies' parlours and things like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that was actually in place and well into the 1960s. And I think in Queensland may have been the last state to kind of completely ban it, and was in 1970, I think it was.
What?
Because of there were protests. Women started to protest, of course. This was the 60s. and would show up in these public bars and sit at the bar and bring out their kind of their
Screw
booze.
Screw you,
and
I'm here for a beer.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, it really kind of interesting that Henri Renou actually kind of wrote and said, it's, you know, kind of crazy that that women have to drink separately, and this is just not the done thing in Europe. Like, wow. Women drink all the time, and there are, you know, he said that the wine culture is very strong in Europe. And he also said, and this is a quote, Europeans have a different attitude to drinking. They do not drink to get drunk. They drink moderately because it is part of graceful living. And he said it should be so in Australia, but it will take people some years to learn this.
I don't think it's been
and
learned.
And I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
And
think.
I thought to myself, no, I don't, sadly, I'm not sure that that's been learned. But we definitely have a huge appreciation for wine.
Which we is, do.
At least that he was right about that. But another kind of, you know, really interesting side to our kind of cuisine-loving, you know, international cuisines is Italian food. I don't think this city, you know, that Italian food is much loved, and that's well documented. But there's a couple of places that I want to talk about. There was in Darlinghurst that was set up in the 50s, and that was No Name Restaurant, which opened in about 1954, and it only just closed last year. I only
what?
Found out recently.
Oh my gosh!
So it's kind of it wasn't such an institution. You know, people remember going up those stairs, and I'm sure there are generations of listeners who went to that restaurant. Another one was Beppi's Restaurant, which was opened in 1956 on Eurong Street, and that is actually still open. And you know, I was thinking of what I remember of some of these real family-run Italian restaurants, and I remember the kind of red and white checkered tablecloths and things like that. And you know, it's just a really interesting side of our history. But I've noticed in more recent years, I thought just to kind of leave listeners with this thought that there's been a real, I think, resurgence of these old kind of old school places. People are really interested in preserving the Greek milk bars.
Yes.
There's a really famous one called the Olympia Milk Bar on Parramatta Road, which I'm sure people know about. But also, you know, getting retro kind of decor in there, you know, the red and white checkered tablecloths are making a bit of a comeback. So maybe, you know, it's not completely gone and there are traces of it still left. But I was thinking, I wonder what kind of famous bar or restaurant listeners miss from their time.
Yeah.
That have closed.
And there would probably be quite a lot, actually, as you said, especially with, you know, sort of everything's Uber Eats now, everything's delivery.
We've changed so much in our habits. And I'm sure that, you know, there are so many memories that people have of these, like really special memories of these places.
Yeah, that's absolutely gorgeous. I love it. Nicole, before I let you go, where can we find out more?
At dictionaryofsydney.org.
Thanks so much. Nicole Karma there, running us through Dictionary of Sydney. Some of the history of Sydney's food culture, and I think just a staple part of living in Sydney is that you've got to have some foodie in you somewhere. Even if it's buried all the way down deep, I think every one of us who lives in this city is a little bit of a foodie.